Yeah, yesterday I had not quite a nightmare, but you know when you just like wake up, but you're still asleep kind of feeling?
Like sleep paralysis kind of thing?
Yeah.
What happened in the dream, Nard?
I don't know. Freaking sucked. You know that feeling when you're like awake, but still asleep, and like you don't actually know what reality is yet? I got up. I went, started editing a podcast episode. I remember also it raining. Okay, before I started editing the podcast episode, because that's when I was like actually awake, but I fell asleep like 10 seconds after I started editing it again. Let me just start over with the story. So what so what actually happened? I like got up. It was raining. My window was open and I was like, no, you know what? It wasn't raining. See, this is the thing, is I like didn't know what was going on. I could not fucking tell what Mikey's was going face. On in real life. And like, I remember getting up and opening my window and like knocking all my plants over. Cause you know, I have to get past my computer to open the window.
This is in the dream or in real life?
This is both essentially. It's just like, I didn't feel like I was awake. I have like a memory. It's like spotty. Like I don't exactly remember doing this, but I remember doing this because I woke up and I was like, shit, that did happen. Cause my plants are all spilled everywhere. And my window's open. Thank God it's not raining. Then I went up to edit the podcast and then I fell asleep again. And then I woke up and I was like, oh no, I have to go. And that was it. It sucked. It felt insane. I was on my bed for like an hour and I was like trying to sleep, but I was unable to sleep, but I was not awake yet. It was like the craziest fucking feeling.
This is like the shittiest version of Nightmare on Elm Street. Where your I've never dream seen became that. Real.
Give me a drum roll. You're listening to the Super Week, Super Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Evan.
I can do it one more time. That's not the name.
No, fuck you. Really? I got it wrong?
You got it wrong, yeah.
Where?
Supercast. This is episode 38. You'll get it eventually.
You're listening to the Super Week, Super Weekly. Can't do it seriously. Mikey, do the intro.
You're listening to the Super Week, Super Weekly Supercast. And I am Scatty Mike Tajan.
And I am a ratty tatty Doc Bag.
Fuck this shit. I'm your host, Evan. And today, we have a special guest.
Do I?
Yeah, say your name and who you are and what you're doing.
Greg Mendez. I'm a...
You're the most handsome of voices.
A musician.
Yeah, you might know Greg from his project Greg Mendez, and then also Snowhore. And what other bands have you been in a bunch with, Evan? Like Airports back in the day? You guys were in that together?
Handsome Voice Social Club.
Yeah, that one.
Mikey drummed for you. I played in your band sometimes. We've lived together on a numerous occasion.
Oh, and I played Lifesteal for you for a little while. Yeah.
Chris has played for sure.
Yeah.
We've all been.
I think you played bass before too.
When? I don't remember this.
I think you did for like one show.
Whoa, cool. Well, I'm sure it was great. I don't remember it, but I love that Greg Mendez stuff.
Welcome to the new band, Greg Mendez and the Super Weeks.
Oh, this is like a Mike Bell and the Lamos scenario.
Yeah, Mike Bell in the movies, Mike Bell and the Lamos, Greg Mendez and Getting Sick, Greg Mendez and Gum Trash now, Greg Mendez and the Super Weeks.
Here we are.
Well, yeah, it's great to be here. Nice to meet me.
Super whack, super wacky, super time.
That's the kind of energy you want, right? Your quiet, folky stuff going on. Some real goofball stuff.
Yeah, why not? You got to have the yin and the yang, you know?
So, Greg, let's talk about how you and I met in college.
Well, we lived on different floors of the dorm building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just showed up in your room a bunch, pretty much.
Well, we definitely met smoking cigs on what is it called? Like a, it's not a porch at the dorm. What is that called?
It was just like
a stoop.
The outside. There was like a ledge, right? Like a brick ledge.
Having cigs on the ledge, and then we shortly realized we enjoyed the same music.
Yeah, I think I came down to your room a bunch. My roommate was like pissing on stuff.
Hey, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. What? Your roommate was pissing on stuff.
Yeah, he would like get really drunk and then just like piss like in the room.
Like usually it was like targeted?
Like he thought like his laundry hamper was a toilet.
You know? I have a lot of memories of getting texts from you at like 8 a.m. being like, do you want to go to the cafeteria because my roommate just took out his dick and started masturbating and he's clearly drunk and asleep and I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah, that was definitely a thing. I forgot about that.
Oh my God.
So So thank you.
But yeah, that's, you know, that's how our friendship bond.
Yeah, forged in fire.
Well, we also both were definitely going through a Beatles phase at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Call me Beatles fire phase.
It's usually the two branches of a strong friendship. Some sort of sexual peril and the Beatles, right?
Yeah, now there's like that whole thing where the Beatles had like jerk off circles too. So
I believe you're referring to full circle. Yeah, beat the Meatles. Full circle. full circle jerk.
Beat the Meatles. Oh my God.
Yeah. Would you see, I forget, was it like the New York Post or something? Like somebody had a headline where it was Beat the Meatles. And then the subtitle was Come Together McCartney revealed that information.
Good.
Yeah.
I thought it was like just something people were saying on Twitter at first.
No, it's
And then I saw a Twitter post that was like, holy shit, I thought this was just a meme and a link to the article.
And Paul McCartney confirmed it. He's like, yeah, me and the boys, we just gather around in a circle in my mom's basement and have ourselves a tug. Or something. That's my best Liverpoolian accent I could whip up in a second.
So that's what Come Together is about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, think about the chorus. Come together right now over me. Because they're in a circle and they're shooting it so powerfully, like such an intense jettison that it was launching over the heads.
Well, I've had to have a lot saved up in order to pull that off.
Pull that off. That's a pun.
Who had the strongest stream, do you think?
Probably Pete Best. That's why they kicked him out of the band.
Yeah, his name is Best.
Well, that was a nickname. Yeah. Oh, goddamn.
Well, then Greg and I went to form a band called Airports with our good bud Pete Martin. And then Katie, who is in No Thank You, joined, who Greg was dating at the time. And then Nick Holdorf, who's also in No Thank You, joined. He would pull over on the side of the road on the way to band practice, which was in Philly. He was living in New Jersey, and he would pull over on the side of the road to take naps and eat soup on the way down to band practice.
That's gotta be Nick.
100%. Okay, yeah. Then Alex Kramer joined.
Side of the road?
Yeah, you don't remember any of this?
No. When
occasionally, like, so Peter and Nick didn't live in Philly. Well, I guess
I remember that, but pulled over to eat soup and take naps, like, on the highway?
Yeah, on, like, 202.
Like, Nick just, like, on the shoulder?
Oh, yeah. Ask him about it. Well, there were times I remember where I would be like, Peter, where are you guys? And he'd be like, Nick had to pull over on the side of the road to eat soup. And, you know, then there are other times where he was tired, so he'd take a nap in the car on the way down. Nick is one of my best friends who I love very dearly. And I think it's really an amazing story that I look back on fondly that he did that kind of stuff. Even though in the moment I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Why did he
We're supposed
stop?
To be having band practice. But then again, Airport's band practice was just like us jamming for hours on end anyway.
Yeah, it was pretty chill.
And then just like getting intoxicated.
Well, Airports is a pretty cool and unique band, I'd say. Why don't you describe what your lineup was instrumentally for the listeners?
We tried to be Wolf Parade.
That's pretty accurate, yeah.
Yeah, but you were just like 1,000 keyboards.
Yeah, Wolf Parade.
Loud as hell.
Yep, Wolf Parade.
Well, on guitar, Greg, you were the only one to play guitar in the band at the time, right? Until Kramer joined and maybe he started doing harmonized parts with you?
Pete played guitar sometimes. He switched off.
Yeah, we switched.
Yeah, you were really like a swap
rock.
Didn't
you play guitar?
I played guitar. Oh, yeah, Katie played guitar too in a song. Like we all kind of...
Yeah, swap rock.
Swap. Kramer, I think, I don't know if he ever played guitar. He would do like percussion and play bass keyboards and lead keyboards and stuff. There were a lot of us. It was a good time.
There was a lack of guitars. Not a lack, but like there weren't very many guitars.
There was one guitar you guys passed around the stage.
Yeah.
I think later on, like there were two. Because I remember also at the end of the one song, there was like a 3-part guitar harmony. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's the one where you sing about.
Sounds right.
Probably Pirates, the one that I sang.
Yeah,
don't Pirates. Go back and listen to any of this. At a show, though?
Yeah, we did.
We did the 3 guitars.
Yeah, Katie would play the 3rd part. It was really cool. Yeah, I mean, Airports
the
was sick and I really
up.
Liked it. What?
The horns that would come up when we played in Philly. That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool too. Doing our first couple gigs, having a horn section join us on stage.
Oh, is it our classic line of John Slavin friends?
Kyle Press, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Old Sprinkle Kingdom, Bud.
I think Alex Corvo probably was playing trumpet.
Sounds right.
I think I was playing trombone, actually.
Okay.
Also sounds right. Yeah, you definitely did.
On some of
sounds
that.
Like Mambo number 5 is happening.
Oh, Lou Bega.
Well, let's talk about the best part of Airports, in my opinion, which is your tour van. You had that trapezoidal Vanagon.
Was it Vanagon? No, what was it?
It was a 1987 Toyota van.
Yeah.
It was gold.
The name, they would call it a Vanagon, but you guys called it a Vanagon because it was this like polygonal, like goofy looking thing.
It was fucking amazing. Katie got it from her aunt or something, right?
Yeah, uncle or aunt or something.
And the like thing was like, you guys have to pay us $800 and cover the insurance each month, and it's yours. And of course, we were also fucking irresponsible that between six of us, we couldn't get together $800 to buy this van and then pay the insurance on it each month. So eventually Katie's parents sold it, and I am filled with great regret because it was a gorgeous van and it only had like 40,000 miles on it.
Well, the first thing I did was put a giant dent in the door.
What were the circumstances around that?
Well, I had never driven a, it was one of those ones with the engine in the middle. So I'd never driven a car that the first time we filled it up with gas when me and Katie went to get it in Florida, I like turned out of the pumps. You know, they have those like cement poles to stop you from like driving into the pumps. And I just took a turn and it like I didn't understand that if I took the turn that sharp that the side of it would hit the cylinder. Because like in a normal car, it wouldn't.
Right. Yeah.
So that was like the first, within like 20 minutes of having this van.
Katie was probably furious.
She was.
But that thing was sick. It was completely insane to me that we toured in it and we fit all of our keyboards and amps and gear and stuff. And seven people.
Well, two people had to sit on the engine in the middle.
And we all put our feet in the middle and it was like so fucking cramped.
Crampy Lampus.
I remember that engine getting so hot also.
Oh yeah. Especially for the people sitting on it.
Yeah.
That is an insane design choice to have the engine block in the center because you're just heating the whole car up. Like,
yeah.
Was it unbearably hot in there when you guys were touring?
Think about it like this. Like the engine block in a van is where the doghouse is, you know?
Yeah, like the center console area.
That's just directly on top of the engine.
But there's a grill in the front of the car, so there's at least air passing through there, and it's like cycling through.
There's a grill on the Vanagon.
I don't remember it being like hotter. You were sitting on
it. Yeah, it was just hot.
Except when it was your turn to sit there.
Yeah. And it's the same thing, like when you put your foot against or lean your, Mikey, you'd probably know this better than anyone, when you lean your leg against like the doghouse when you're driving the van, like, that shit gets hot.
Yeah, definitely.
Then there was the weed spot, which was in the vent and the ceiling, but then it fell down into like between the doors. Yeah, it's probably still there to this day.
I think a bowl, right?
Yeah, I think there was like a bag of weed.
Bag of weed, a bowl.
Yeah, it's probably still there. Hopefully they don't try to cross a border in it.
I would be surprised if that van still exists, to be honest. We're talking, this is like 2006, 2007.
You never know. It's a Toyota.
Yeah,
it had like 40,000 miles on it.
Yeah, it's got to be somewhere unless they launched it into the sun after.
Well, I don't know. My dad's car, his engine drowned in that hurricane like the other week. And he said water didn't even get into the inside of the car, but he'd have to rebuild the engine. And the insurance company paid him out significantly more money than it would cost to rebuild the engine of that car.
Did he rebuild it?
No, he was just like, yeah, I'll fucking take all this money. That's fine. But now he can't get a new car because there's no cars available being made that are new.
What?
Oh yeah, there's like a huge, I mean, since COVID happened, there's like a huge, nobody worked for so long that there's a huge shortage of materials, a huge shortage of new cars being made. There's like, everything's like crazy expensive. You could probably sell your car for like $5,000,
Chris. You could. Used cars are insanely expensive.
Yeah, the prices are crazy right now.
Well, if my bike didn't get stolen the other week, I might consider it, but it's my only form of transportation right now.
Well, you have a skateboard or three.
You're right. If I stack them all up, I can combine their power and go as fast as a bike.
Mikey drives a Chevy Blazer.
Smoke weed.
I've got three cars. Greg has like three cars.
I have two.
They're sick.
They're just barely on the road.
They're levitating.
What are you talking about? You got that Altima going.
The Altima should be good now.
Oh, you have an Altima?
Mm-hmm.
That was my first, like the same second year. Car, I guess. Yeah.
It's like the same
what year was yours?
Oh, I don't remember at this point. It was probably like a 2005 or something.
2003, 2000.
Mine's a 01.
Whoa, vintage.
Well, maybe yours was earlier than that because we went to college in 06.
Yeah, I bought it used. And I had it freshman year of college.
Could have been a 2001. Maybe it's the same car.
Maybe it's the same car.
It could be.
Well, it's Evan's footprint on the ceiling of the interior. That's a pretty good indicator.
Not that I know of. I'd probably have noticed that.
I could help you out by putting one there if you prefer. Takes a drink. Doesn't want that at all. Whatever. Is
I'll
it green?
About it. It's gold.
Oh, it's not the same.
Yeah, you love gold cars.
It's just what I end up with. It's only my second gold car.
Well, the van was gold. The Buick was gold.
The van was silver, I thought.
No, the van was gold.
Dude, the van was definitely Vanagon silver. Vanagon
was gold. We'll have to phone a friend. We'll call Katie.
Let's go.
We're not doing phone a friend anymore. So wait, how many gold cars have you had?
Two.
That's
including this one.
It only takes 2 points to make a line. I see a trend here.
I like to buy cars that belong to old people, and I think they like gold.
I'm sorry, to gold people?
Yes.
Old, I think old people do people. Like gold.
They do.
Only gold members.
Yeah. And did you get it from a mysterious Dutchman who had a horrible smelting accident?
They just kind of come my way, I guess.
Well, who are you to fight fate?
I want a burgundy car is what I really want. Like burgundy interior, you know.
Maybe it's not a nice station wagon.
Yeah, you're describing like a classic Oldsmobile right
now. I would
now.
Love a station wagon. Then you could sleep in the back.
There's a burgundy Oldsmobile right down the street from Kylie's. And there's also a burgundy Buick Century early 90s right down the street from Kylie's, which my first car was a blue Buick Century with light blue interior. My grandmother gave it to me for my 17th birthday. I was very grateful. That was the year 2005. At that point, the car was 14 years old, and it probably had like 30,000 miles on it. It was really great. However, when you drove on the highway, or you were accelerating to get on the highway, the car didn't have enough acceleration, and you felt like you were going to die every single time you tried to do that.
Huh. Was it like a V2 engine?
I think it was a 4. I think it was a V4. The kicker and maybe cause of that was my grandmother, apparently when she gave it to my parents, told them that like the transmission fluid needed to be filled up, and they never did that or told me. So within owning the car for a month, my transmission gave out, and that was the end of that.
Oof.
That sucks.
Yeah, it's a $3,000 rebuild you don't want to spend.
No. Well, the van, we got our transmission swapped. It was only $1,200.
Whoa, what a deal and a steal.
Corey paid for it all because he was rolling in it. And then the band paid him back after whatever tour we were on, whenever that happened.
Which van was that?
The red one.
Wow, you.
The classic 683, right? That was the name of that van?
Yeah. I missed that van.
683, 682.
682 is the song we had.
No, 68. 68 was the 68, name of the van.
You're right.
That was a good song.
Thank you. It's a good van. We all shared a similar experience recording music at Converse Rubber Tracks in New York. Mikey and I played as Greg's backing band.
And I showed up pretending to be part of your band so I could get more free shoes that day.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You did. I don't think I ever got the shoes because they were like, oh, yeah, we don't have your size.
And what size is that?
12.
It's like a pretty common size.
I know. I guess they had given them all away already.
I think 12. The thing was they had like those really gaudy like ones with studs on them and stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. I just wanted like regular ass Converses.
I remember the same thing happened to Greg LeBold. He's like size 14 or something. And they were like, we only have these studded Chuck Taylors. And Greg was like, I don't want these, but I guess I'm going to take them because they're free. So he wore studded Chuck Taylors all the time for a while. But, you know, that's kind of Greg's MO. So it works out.
Yeah, I think I didn't take them because they were like, oh, you can come back and get them another time. And I was like, okay. And then I never did. I should go back now.
They're gone. They're long gone. Yeah, for the listener, in case you're not familiar, Converse, the shoe and clothing company, had a program for a while where there's a couple of different studios spread across the country where indie bands could come in, record for free for one day, and then every member of the band would also get a free pair of Converse sneakers. A pretty great promotion that the Super Weeks, at least individually, we took advantage of it like over 10 times. Like I had 11 pairs of free Converse over the years that I got.
We've definitely also talked about this on at least 11 episodes of the podcast.
Yeah, it could
thus
be a
far.
New listener. Could be a I new know. Listener.
That promo's still working.
Yeah, it's got legs.
I loved recording there. That's where The World Is a Terrible Place was recorded.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the studio that launched the Weeks and then, you know, to become the Super Weeks.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the reason that we formed a live band was because we all wanted free shoes. And we just like conscripted every person around the warehouse who wanted to get a free pair of shoes and be like, yeah, you're in the band this time too. Come with us.
Or people like Mike Bell showed up and was in the band when he showed up.
Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah.
How did I not know that?
I don't know.
Well, which Greg Mendez record was recorded at Converse Rubber Tracks?
One that no one ever heard.
Oh, you never released it?
Mm-mm.
Let me tell you. There are so many Greg Mendez records that nobody has ever heard. Between Katie's laptop and my laptop, we probably have 100 Greg Mendez songs that the world has never heard.
Is this Evan hyperbole here, or is it actually 100 songs?
This, I mean,
it's a lot, probably.
It's a good amount. You know, there's, we recorded 7 or 8 songs at Rubber Tracks that day. You remember, Mike?
I remember recording. I don't remember how many tracks. I just remember Greg not using them. And that's all I remember.
I thought they were great.
Yeah.
They were cool. I didn't really like the songs, you know. Got to separate the wheat from the...
chaff?
Yes.
But see, here's the thing is you have so many records that were great that you're just like, I don't like this anymore. It's R.I.P.
I feel like if it ends up around too long before getting released, maybe. Although I think it's objectively not, I think that you guys did a great job, you know, but I don't like the songs.
But I like the songs. I'm going to release it under Evan Bernard and the Greg Mendez band.
You should.
How are you going to inject yourself into it, though?
I'll pay for the records.
I think we're forming a record label right now. All right, I'll do the album art.
All right, we're going to call it Greg Mendez Records.
Release him under Evan Bernard and Mikey's. The Greg Mendez's.
Evan Bernard and the Greg Mendez's. Evan, Mikey, and Greg. We're going to just call it the Beatles.
There you go.
If it's spelled correctly. But,
yeah. Greg, we've been recording together for many a year.
What if we call it Meet the Beatles Whacking Off? Sorry.
I think that's going to be too traumatic for Greg because of his dormitory experiences.
Sorry, I was a little late.
No, it was
perfect timing, as always.
Well, Greg, we've been recording together for many a year. I feel like one of your signature moves when recording would be we'd start recording a record, get 8 songs into it, and then you'd show up and you'd be like, that record's not, we're not going to finish that record. We have to start this new one. And, you know, great things happened. Like Songs from the Stairwell happened that way. We were recording the first pass of all the stuff we did at Rubber Tracks, which was recorded once before, listener. And Greg did release some of those.
Briefly.
Are they gone now?
You took them down?
Well, no, there's still the one on that home videos thing. I feel like that song was all right.
I think that song's great.
What song?
What's the name of that song?
You played Slide on it live.
I did?
Yeah. Life at the Moment, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yes.
That was the one you played live.
Yeah, you definitely played a show in Greg's
game. Yeah, that one.
I remember that.
Yeah, in New York, I played slide guitar.
Mm-hmm.
We did that weekend.
I've not listened to them recently-ish.
I got to tell you, playing those few handful of shows the three of us played in your backing band were some of my favorites to play.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah. Just saying.
Cool backing band.
Yeah. Well, wait, who's in your current lineup? I know Evan's been playing with you as always.
Just you, me, usually.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But I mean, when you've done your full band performances.
We haven't played
it's been a while.
Show since maybe the time we played at Modern Baseball's last show.
Oh, Union Transfer?
Maybe that is it, yeah.
That might have been the last time we played a live show.
Went out on top.
Yeah.
It was cool. I played drums at Union Transfer somehow.
You played bass?
I played drums at that show.
You played drums at that show.
You played bass again.
Oh, yeah.
I played before.
Right. With No Thank You. That was cool. Love the Mobos.
You think any other fans who were there for all three final shows saw you on multiple nights who were just seeing the algorithms floating around their heads, trying to figure out the conspiracy as to why you were popping up at every show?
Because I secretly wrote all of Modern Baseball's songs.
Well, Holy Ghost, yeah. The hot pepper stuff. That's your touch there. The little ghost pepper action.
Yeah. Secrets out, everyone. Me and Greg ghost wrote all of Modern Baseball's songs.
That's what Holy Ghost is about. They ghost wrote Holy, the entire catalog before that.
Holophily.
Yeah, what he said.
Maybe that was the last time, though.
Well, you got the three of us here. Should we have a band practice?
No, didn't we do the tour was after that, I think.
Tour. With Neil.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Patrick Harris?
Forget about
Neil
it.
Neil Patrick Harris, yeah.
Yeah, actually, he was going by Neil O'Neill at the moment.
Which I think was
Neil
sick.
O'Neill Pert.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a sick name.
Neil O'Neill.
Yeah.
Who is this?
I prefer when he goes by Phony.
Phony's cool too, but Neil O'Neill was also cool.
I don't know. I didn't fuck with Neil O'Neill as a name. I was like, come on, Neil, really? This is silly.
It was silly, but...
And 1-800-PHONY is not silly?
No, Phony's cool.
It's just Phony.
His Instagram handle
Neil,
is
I know you're going to listen to this, and I think Phony is a great band name, also a great band, so great.
Goes without saying.
Neil's playing at Joyce Manor now. It's great.
Oh, that Neil.
Yeah.
I haven't met this Neil.
Right.
But there was an old Neil, right? They had, Joyce Manor had a different Neil before, didn't they?
No, they have two Neils.
There's Jeff.
Oh, that's what it is. They have two Neils.
Yeah.
They had a, it's a Jeff.
It's a boy.
Bob, we oughta baby, it's a Jeff?
Yes.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yeah, Neil's great, great songs. Great person.
Yeah.
That was a fun tour, although I hated the fact that it was in the middle of the winter and you guys would smoke cigs in the van and open the windows and just...
Not anymore. Oh,
so cold.
Am I right?
Yeah, not anymore.
Not anymore, listeners.
Oh, yes. What Mikey is alluding to right now is that we have two recent quitters of cigarettes in this room.
We do.
We fucking suck because we quit.
Well, now you no longer suck. You're no longer sucking the bogues, chasing that nicotine dragon.
That's true. We're both doing... Fantastic. Thank you, everyone.
Do you ever miss it, Mikey?
Every day, actually.
Really?
Pretty much. Still. Yeah, it's getting easier for sure, but like it really, there's really some bad pangs that I don't really know how I like didn't smoke. I kind of just like let a little bit of time pass, like a few minutes. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just forgot about it because I got sidetracked. Where in my brain, I was like, all right, I'm ready to become a smoker again. I'm going to go buy a pack because I don't give a shit. And then I just like somehow get sidetracked and I'm like, oh yeah, why did I even want a cigarette in the first place? But every day I'm like, oh, it smells so good because everyone smokes. It really everywhere. Does.
Yeah, careful. Sounds like you're about to like pull both of you back into the trap of smoking.
Nah, we'll be back in 5 minutes.
I talk so fondly of it, but I know that I'm better off without it.
Well, you've been going strong, Mikey. It's been how many months now?
8.
8 months.
Yeah.
And Greg, how long has it been?
It's been like a month, a little more than a month. I definitely already like feel better.
You breathe deeper. You feel like you've big bad wolf power. You can blow a house of sticks down.
It's not that tangible, but like I just like overall, I think I just feel like less like shit.
How's your sense of smell?
It's the same.
Same, yeah.
Yeah.
Taste is the same. I feel like my lung cookies are less dense.
Sorry, what?
When I hawk a lug, spit up the phlegm.
Oh, I thought you said lung cookies.
I did say that.
That's a term?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with this, Greg?
Mm-mm.
I've never heard that before.
Lung cake, lung cookie, cough it up. But there's less of it now when I cough them up.
That's good.
A lot of less brown, a lot of less scary.
It's the grossest.
Yeah. Welcome to cigarettes.
I mean, I will say that, Greg, I remember when you were trying to quit in the past, you know, you would stop smoking for a few days and like the coughs that you would have were serious.
Yeah, I had like chronic bronchitis for like years. Back in the day. Like, I just, like, got bronchitis and it never got better.
When did it get better?
I stopped doing drugs.
That'll do it.
It's been a while, though. But I definitely, like, feel... The thing that I like about not smoking is when I go, like, a whole day and I won't realize till the end while I was like, wow, there wasn't a point where I was just, like, getting really agitated until I had a cigarette. Like, maybe I was just agitated the whole day instead. But I don't know. Something about that is nice where, like, it wasn't, like... constantly needing to
scratch the itch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is wild, like, how much it takes you away from anything and everything you're doing. And just, like, no matter what meal I've eaten in the past, I've always just, like, wanted to get to my next cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never care to sit there with the people.
Or, like, seeing a movie or some shit.
Yeah, right.
Especially now that movies are all, like, 3 hours long. Like, I could not sit through a whole movie.
Is that why you quit? Because you wanted to see the end of Avengers Endgame?
Yeah, I wanted to just fucking see the end of movies without having to take a break.
Bro, they make digital smokes for that. Not encouraging you to fucking...
I don't like the vapes, though.
Are you telling him to rip huge cloud in the mid of an Oscar?
I was telling you to chuck clouds, dude.
Rip the spode.
Look, bring your cloud vape and your spoof.
Bring your Cloud Strife 9 down to this block and we'll fucking rip clouds.
No, don't do any of that. I'm glad that you're quitting smoking.
Like, if I'm gonna be addicted to nicotine, it's gonna be cigarettes. Like, I'm not doing the whole like.
It's gonna be a pack plus a day.
Yeah, because I don't even like vaping.
Oh, yeah. You don't like spooling cotton?
Who wants to smoke 2 cigarettes a day? Nope.
If I could have just 1 or 2 cigarettes every day, I think I would do that. Like 1 in the morning, 1 at night. But I can't.
I would have to limit myself to 1 cup of coffee.
Once I have one, like, that's it. I'm smoking the rest of the day.
Yeah.
It's 20 or nothing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. And then when you're out, fucking roll up some shorts. It's the best.
Call it a day.
Yeah.
Roll up some shorts.
Yep. All the shorts in the ashtray, you fucking...
Knock the tobacco out of them. You can roll up a freshie.
Roll it up into a joint. You use a used cigarette filter. You put it on the end, and you roll that joint up.
Sounds...
Cig roaches.
Yeah.
Dirty.
Mm-hmm. It is... yeah, it's the dirtiest I've gotten and the most depressed and sad I've been in my life was rolling up ashtray after ashtray full of cigarette butts.
Wow, that was probably a fucking gold mine at the warehouse.
No, never.
All different brands.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't do it there.
That's how they made the Marlboro 27 flavor, right? They took 27 different cigarette butts out of the ashtray, mixed them all together.
I always thought that one tastes like a cheeseburger.
The 27s?
Yeah, it tasted like the char on a very overcooked cheeseburger.
Oh, so it's like Burger King, the taste.
No, Burger King is a delicacy.
You know that flavor that Burger King has?
Yeah.
Like there's just that particular flavor that their burger has and you've never tasted it anywhere else. I had it somewhere else recently.
Oh my God.
It was at this Chinese place on, you know, the Chinese store on right across the street from Union Transfer on Spring Garden. They're boneless spare ribs. I swear they like,
what the?
I swear somebody there like worked at Burger King and stole like the whatever natural flavors go into like the Burger King smoky flavor.
Well, I'm sure there's no natural flavors. Yeah.
They put it on those fucking ribs because it like, it had that aftertaste like Burger King. Like it tasted like Chinese boneless spare ribs, but then the aftertaste was the Burger King burger smoky flavor.
They got the like flame broiled tincture, whatever the hell.
To the T, like that exact thing.
This sounds delicious.
It was good. It was really
BK
weird.
BK smoke?
Like it was one of those things where I ate it and it was like, what is that? Why is that so familiar but so weird?
Would you have it
halfway
again?
Halfway through it was like, I haven't had it again, but I guess I would. It was weird. It was like upsetting almost.
Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Mendez is a Chinese food connoisseur.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd say eater. More than connoisseur.
Oh, there's not like a natural pickiness or discerning taste that's developed from your many Chinese food meals.
I mean, I don't like it when it's bad.
It's
but I'm pretty like, you know, most of it's pretty good.
Yeah. Outside of the tri-state area, whatever you may, you know, like New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, even, you know, we could say maybe even Baltimore fits in with the corner store Chinese food. I feel like it's really easy to fuck up American Chinese food outside of that.
Even Pennsylvania outside of here. Like, I had some in Lancaster.
Mm-hmm.
It was not good.
What about Harrisburg when you were out there?
I feel like it was fine.
Okay.
Well, what's your number one city for, you know, bulletproof glass Chinese food?
Philadelphia.
Yeah, here, I mean.
Oh, because you lived in New York for a while, too. It's,
yeah, New York's good, too.
But Philly wears the crown?
They're kind of the same.
Okay.
It's like once you're doing it good, like once you hit the good mark, it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a matter of a threshold for you. Good enough is good enough for you.
Well, every time we made a Greg Mendez record, fueled by Chinese food.
A lot of that.
Undoubtedly. Fueled by fried rice, maybe General Tso's chicken, pretty much.
Yeah, if they make the General Tso's crispy and
spicy.
You know, and spicy. Yeah, it's good. If it's a spot that will give you chili oil, even better.
Oh, yeah, that's a premium.
You ever miss China Star?
Where was that?
The one on... we filmed a music video in Greg.
It does not exist anymore?
Wait, the one on Girard?
Yeah, we just haven't been there because we moved out of the warehouse.
Yeah, I'm sure that place will always be there. But you filmed a music video in a Chinese food restaurant.
Mm-hmm. It never got released, though.
Of course.
In true Greg Mendez fashion. Well, we did find that other Chinese food spot with the honey chicken. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. That one was good.
That one was slamming good.
That one was very good.
And it closed.
That's really a shame. They have honey chicken at this new one right on Pashyunk.
Greg brought me some hot pepper flakes, and there's one in my eye right now, and it's just really...
That's what happened? Good. Did you miss your
mouth? A bad time. I don't know. I rubbed my eye and I guess, oh man, this is no good.
Well, while Evan tends to his eye and Greg grabs himself another glass of brandy.
Oh no. Well, now seems like a good time to listen to this week's song.
That's what I was trying to say.
I'm not as strong as I could be. I'm reveling in misery. Cause I'm not as strong as I could.
So clearly that was me and my Beatles phase. Well, not really, but that's the closest I'm ever going to get to writing a Beatles song. I feel like it might not sound like a Beatles song to any of you, but that was me trying to write a Beatles song. I was probably really into Rubber Soul at that moment. Also, I don't know how to play that guitar part anymore, and I will probably never learn it because it sounds like an alien wrote it.
I think it sounds cool. Good vocal melody, too.
Thanks.
You can learn it again. I believe in you. You're an accomplished guitar player. Mm. Well, that's why we have Greg here. The true folkman.
Am I?
Yes. Yes, you are. Well, you've got quite a folk pedigree, right? A lot of your music is rooted in Americana and folk. And I feel like that's why this week's track was perfectly fitting for you. You know, listeners who are unfamiliar with you, which I'm sure there are a few, but your speaking voice is notably quite deep and calm and soothing. And you have this mysterious and surprising Elliott Smith-like quality to your vocals, where it's more of like a higher, dreamier sort of vocal delivery.
Mm-hmm.
He sounds like an angel.
Sounds like a little baby angel.
I think I just sing higher because I sing, it just doesn't work with the guitar if I don't.
Oh, yeah, you're sitting in the same register. Also, you wind up sounding like the Crash Test Dummies or some such. Or what's the other one, 69 Love Songs?
Magnetic fields.
Well, that stuff's cool. It always just sounds bad with the guitar if I sing low.
I like when you sing high. I think you have a great voice.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
I think you write some nice melodies.
Every time we look to Greg for like a reaction, he's just drinking out of that seltzer can and shrugging.
That's why he made an album called Shrug.
It might be why.
That might be why. You won't even commit to that.
I've never been on a podcast before.
Well, welcome to podcasting.
I have been on a podcast before, but it was like a phone call podcast.
Mm-hmm. Is this weirder?
Or I've been on two. It is weirder because there's a microphone in my face.
Pretend it's not there.
My windshield is red.
You want this black one?
No.
Well, you're the special guest. Yeah, you get the fancy windscreen.
I like the red one, actually. That's nice, but it's hard to ignore.
You feel like you're whispering into a clown's nose right now?
Yes.
Whoa. That was the most comfortable you've looked this entire time. A lot of questions about you now.
Do you like clowns even?
I mean, they're fine. I'm not afraid of them.
I'm unconvinced. That sounded like a lie.
Yeah.
I'm like sitting here with my arms
crossed. Sounds like the only person that says that is the person who's afraid of clowns.
I swear I'm not afraid of them.
Yeah, why would we even suspect you were afraid of clowns? Hmm?
Just don't show me one. Whatever you do.
You're sitting across from three.
What are you afraid of?
Ticks.
Whoa.
Ticks are horrifying.
Because of the bites or because of the or the bacteria they can introduce into your system?
Both. Well, I had Lyme disease when I was younger.
Wow.
I just got bit by a tick like a month ago, too.
They're back for revenge.
Yeah.
They couldn't take you down before, so now they're gathering their forces again to come after
you. Yeah, I don't
you.
Like them. You have to, like, whenever I always, like, end up having, like, a piece of their mouth in me after, and then you gotta, like, dig out their little fangs or whatever the fuck they are. And then, like, the bites stay, like, inflamed for, like, literally months. It's not right. Something wrong about it.
Yeah, I used to work in the woods when I was a groundskeeper, and so I would get, like, ticks pretty frequently. But fortunately, I avoided them for a long time until we were filming the music video. Speaking of seltzer and us doing dumb stuff, the music video for our song Glowing, filmed by our good friend Pete Murray. While we were filming that, we were in Fairmount Park, right? Or which park were we in? The Wissahickon? I forget. Wissahickon? I was climbing down a hill after we were done shooting, and the ground came out from under me, and I slipped, and I fell down the hill, ripped my jeans, and then, like, as I was tumbling, apparently somewhere on that fall, I got a tick. Because when I got home, and this is, usually they'd be, like, in my armpit or my hair or somewhere, like, warm or whatever. I had a tick sticking out of my knee. So we could, like, barely get in there. There was just, like, directly next to bone.
Right.
But it was pretty disturbing once I, like, took my clothes off when I got home and I had to, like, dig it out with, like, some tweezers once I ripped it apart.
They are disturbing. I don't like them.
I don't like them one bit.
They're bad. Lyme disease, horrifying.
Yeah, what was that like? Was it detected quickly or were you, like, suffering from that? Because that's, like, a pretty bad chronic illness that you can have from
that. It can be. Luckily, it did get detected quickly because what it did to me is it made half my face paralyzed.
Oh, it got Bell's palsy.
Yeah, so my mom thought I was having a stroke and took me to the doctor.
Wow.
And I then, like, I didn't notice, but I had, like, a bullseye behind my knee. So they were like, oh, it's probably Lyme disease.
They were like,
all right. Gotta cut that out.
Sorry.
One more of those, and I haven't edited this episode.
I can do that. I'm going to edit it good.
Nope.
I'm just going to make it so that you say balls.
That's not how that works.
Wait, but say balls real quick.
No.
I know. I'm thinking, like, how can we get him to say balls?
Name one thing that's bouncy.
Bouncy and round.
Trampolines.
Rubber sphere.
Unfortunately, none of this can go in because we don't have the context for it.
We're trying to make Chris say balls. So, Greg, what's your favorite sport?
We're talking about Lyme disease.
We can go back to Lyme disease.
I know, I ruined that story. I'm sorry. The viewers have no idea why. Viewing some of the lucky ones listening.
Wait, how old were you when you had this tick?
Like 12, probably, somewhere in there.
How long did you think you had it behind your knee and you just never noticed?
It probably wasn't that long. I wasn't really like checking myself for ticks all the time, you know?
I feel like you grew up in an area, you know, there's a lot of woods and deers and stuff.
Where are you from?
This was in North Jersey. Probably should have checked for ticks more.
I mean, I certainly didn't at that age. Yeah.
I remember finding them like in my hair sometimes. They'd get really big. But I was like, I kind of didn't care. Like, I'm more horrified by them now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess it's like a trauma response. Like when you're in it, you're kind of just going through and it's like, oh, yep, there's another engorged tick poking out of my scalp. Maybe. But in retrospect, you're like, that was a living thing burrowing its way and feeding off of me.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the ones that like sit on deers for a while and they get like...
Oh, yeah, big and nasty.
Huge. Yeah, real big, yeah.
Mikey likes to lick them. That's what that noise was. He's like, it looks like a raisinette.
Well, do you think when you and Veronica move to Alaska, you're going to be able to stay away from the ticks?
Probably not. That's why I'm not moving to Alaska.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a plan of yours?
No.
That's just a joke.
Veronica wants to move to Alaska sometimes, though.
For the government stipend of $2,000 a month or whatever?
Or she just wants to be around no people.
Also, she was saying that she's going to school to be a dental technician right now, right?
Like a hygienist?
Yeah. Hygienist. Fuck, I was close. I knew it was something like that. Yeah, she was saying that they need dental hygienists in Alaska.
No, so they you need get, everything in Alaska.
You get paid a stipend. I guess it is that stipend you're talking about. Yeah, but yeah. They get paid more to work in Alaska, and they get subsidy from the government as well.
Whoa, nice. So
she was like, let's just fucking move there. There's no people. I get paid more. Like, sounds like a win.
Well, you should consider moving to Chicken, Alaska. That's a town that has, I think, like a population of 80. So they definitely need somebody out there.
What if you don't like any of those 80 people?
Well, then you should move to Turkey, then Alaska. Then you secretly
give them cavities.
Inject cavities in their mouth.
That's just drilling.
Or you could just be like, look, I reinvented Coca-Cola with cocaine in it.
Why would you do that, Evan?
So you can get them addicted so that they can drink it and then get cavities, obviously.
I feel like we're missing a few steps of this plan.
Yeah. I can't see it. Moving on.
Well, Greg, what's your favorite sport, I guess? To follow up on Evan's.
No, we're going to know. We were trying to make Chris say balls, and he wouldn't say it because he's a baby.
No, I'm not a baby because I have hair all over my chest.
Yeah, because you drink whiskey.
Evan thought I was going to say it.
Oh, I didn't even realize that you could say that.
Oh, God damn it.
This is probably unusable.
What a nightmare.
Why is it a nightmare? This is great comedy.
The rest of this episode is just going to be trying to get you to say balls from now on.
Well, Greg, let's talk about the warehouse. You were there sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You spent many a night, recorded many a record, and uniquely, you recorded a record in the stairwell called Songs from a Stairwell.
Such a creative name.
To masturbate to with the Beatles. Yes. Is the long title. Sorry.
What? Mikey, what's going on, my man?
Well, the circle jerk information is new to me, so my brain is firing off.
I get it.
I'm sorry.
No, we all get it. Getting it's not the issue.
I was trying to start something in earnest there.
Stairs. Songs. Keep talking about that.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
to Evan's point, you spent some significant time at Big Mama's Warehouse creating music, being part of the community. What were some of the significant memories that you had from Big Mama's and the people who were in it?
I don't know. It was just a really nice place to be, I guess. Always something going on, you know? Recorded a lot of nice stuff there. Stairwell record was fun and weird. Why did we do it in the stairwell in the first place?
I believe because you wrote them while you were in a stairwell.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, it does ring a bell. But we weren't like, oh, stairs sound cool.
Well, I think going back to the Greg Mendez record we recorded prior to that, where you were like recording it and then you stopped and you were like, I have a whole new record I want to do.
Yeah, it sounds like that happened.
And then it was Songs from a Stairwell and you were like, what if we record it in a stairwell? I really liked the echo of the stairwell when I played them in that stairwell. So maybe we can try to record it in there. And then we did. And it sounds really cool.
Sounds cool. It sounds crazy.
Yeah, it definitely sounds crazy. We recorded it to a Tascam 388 in a stairwell.
Yeah, that thing's cool. That was the Dr. Dog one, right?
That was, I believe, I'll have to ask Pete if they recorded Easy Beat to that, but I definitely know it used to belong to Zapp and Roger.
Who's that?
What? You know California Love? Classic Tupac song. Mm-hmm. California Love. Whatever the melody
California.
Is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Likes to party in California. That is Roger Troutman, who was one of the like top artists just like on like BET in the 80s and stuff. He did a ton of like vocoder stuff. He's like famous for his talk box work with keyboards.
Yeah, he was like one of the first guys to popularize the talk box.
But he also was like a sick guitar player. Like absolutely awesome. But they made some of like the biggest dance hits of the 80s.
And that was his?
Yeah, that was theirs.
In Schoolie D's warehouse.
Mm-hmm. Also prior to it being Schoolie D's, it was DJ Jazzy Jeff's.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, so there's a major hip-hop and R&B pedigree to Big Mama's Warehouse, which you wouldn't know from the bulk of the output that we had while we were there, but yeah, many of the classic Philadelphia records and Philadelphia sound were produced in that very space.
So crazy. Wait, how long since you moved out?
It's been like 18, 20 months, something like that.
Yeah, it's almost 2 years.
Time flies.
Time flies when you're having stuck inside from COVID.
We're just getting older, too.
Yeah, there's the relativistic time scale. You know, when you're a kid, a week or an hour or whatever seems like forever. Now a year just flashes by because we've seen so many.
A week goes so fast and I'm just like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Could we have any Moorish fun?
Wow, that was a good one.
That was the Easter egg.
That was a real, we're going to have to cut that one.
How many Mikey cuts are there usually in an episode?
Not too many.
I feel like more comfortable with you. It really depends on with my comfort level with someone. Like if I'm going to interrupt them with like nonsense.
I mean, I'm going to keep as many of Mikey's as I can, of course, if I edit this.
I think you're editing it at this
Songs
point.
From a Stairwell to Bathroom.
I don't know if you noticed, but he was laughing for the last 15 minutes since he said
that. I can't wait to call this episode Songs from a Stairwell. What did you even say?
Masturbate to his feet.
Oh my God, Mikey. Songs from a Stairwell to Masturbate to with the Beatles.
You could do away with the Beatles part. It's just still gold.
No, that's like you now it just loses its.
If you lose that part, then it's just fucking weird.
Yeah, if you lose that part, then it's fucking weird. Just some ordinary stuff, otherwise.
What is wrong with me? This ordinary stuff is the problem.
Well, if you're Paul McCartney, it seemed pretty ordinary to him. Yeah, me and the boys are just having a tug.
Was that the quote?
No, it's just what I like to imagine him saying.
What was your thing that you were always, you were saying it for like a while and it was cracking me up, yeah.
I was saying it today?
No, not today. This was like probably like, it was when we were still in Big Mama's house. It was a phrase for masturbating.
Cranking your hog.
Oh, cranking your hog like that? Yeah, cranking your hog. That's one of my faves, yeah. Because especially at that time, I just got my motorcycle license. So I was riding my motorcycle around town. But when I would describe that, I would also refer to it as cranking my hog.
Hogsman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We mean the other hogsman. Yeah. Pulling back on that throttle.
It's just context as to whether you're riding your motorcycle. Or...
Yeah. It's a lot like being a smurf. It's all about context. Like people who speak the same language, they understand entirely without it. you know, the picking up on the subtle inflections.
The difference between like cranking your hog in your bedroom and around town.
Well, yeah, well, that's the thing is like to the uninitiated, if like I was cranking my hog in my bedroom, they're like, oh, you're going to ruin the carpet. Well, I guess either one of those could work for that.
Chris, what do you call those things you shoot into hoops?
Shoot into hoops?
Yeah.
Like the stick and hoop? My favorite game from my colonial childhood?
Well, I know you love sticks, but I'm talking about what's the thing you hit with the stick in that other sport?
Oh,
that's with the bases.
That's a puck.
Oh, that's interesting. There are no bases in the puck sport.
Greg, what are your favorite string companies?
String? Guitar string?
Guitar strings. What do you kind of guitar strings do you use?
Oh. Whichever ones. I think I got a bunch of Ernie balls from you.
Yep.
Yeah.
So do you ever use those, Chris?
I prefer D'Addario.
To what?
No, I don't.
To what?
The other one.
What's that?
The one you said.
Oh, I get what you did. That's really
good. Oh, my God, Evan.
I was like, hopefully Chris doesn't catch on.
Oh, my God. I didn't.
I'm the one who had a full glass of disgusting coffee brandy, and I'm still miles ahead of you.
Disgusting.
That's probably my best way to get you.
Mikey, that was so good.
That was good.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely edit this episode.
Oh, my God.
Just please take out my...
No, the parts are definitely staying. I'm getting us canceled, baby. Unless Chris has balls right now.
You're going to hold me hostage?
Okay, fine. Back to the podcast.
You might even say he's got you by your...
Nards.
Horns?
Wolfman's got him.
Yeah, Wolfman's got nards.
I watched that movie the other day. Was that with you? No, that was with Sean.
It was not with me, no. He's referring to Monster Squad.
Pucks.
Monster Pucks.
Wolfgang Puck.
Oh. Okay, I see it. Well, you know what? To be fair, we are encroaching on the spooky season. I think this is our first episode or our second episode of October. You got any big Halloween plans there, Greg? What do you love to do when the autumn season strikes?
I don't think I have any plans, really.
Well, you're like a flannel man. You love a good button up.
I like warm clothes or long sleeve things. I think it's nice when you get to start wearing jackets and stuff.
Yeah, and I think I've seen you wear a beanie or two in your time.
Get to hide a little bit, you know?
Oh, that's my favorite part.
Feel cozy.
Cover my whole body with layers so I look like a full-size person.
Mm-hmm.
But you also are a huge fan of Doc Martens, the classic footprint of punks everywhere.
Oh, yeah. What's your punk name?
Gregory Guillotine.
Good name.
What was yours? I know, but I want to hear you say it.
Was it Evanarchy?
It was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you waiting for mine?
Yeah, what's yours?
Well, if I were to go with the one suggested to me by my fifth grade compatriot, it would be Pissbag Shitload.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's pretty
punk. Definitely going to call you Pissbag from now on.
Okay. It's kind of funny. I like that.
And how about you, Mikey?
I guess it would be Mike Fat.
Yeah, your classic name from when you fronted the band Felch.
And that is a perfect play on the well-known punk Fat Mike. Founder of Fad Records and the singer and bass player of NoFX.
This just had to do with my body weight.
I think that's where his nickname comes from as well, right? That's the
Fat Mikey Mike. Was first, actually, though.
Yeah.
Do you think that's, is that correct?
Yeah.
Chronologically?
I think so.
It's close. I think it's neck and neck. You were, of course, a child at the time and not world famous, but.
That's why no one noticed, because Fat Mike just stole the name from like a random child.
Oh, maybe he was on some AOL chat room with you. Mining for golden nicknames, and you gave it up.
My name, Hamburglar Rocks, wasn't enough. You had to go deeper.
That
in
was
it.
Your AOL handle.
Yeah,
Hamburglar Rocks. Is that because of like you felt the Hamburglar himself was so cool that he rocked like a rock star?
Someone had like a Hamburglar Halloween costume, and I wore it on a stage, like at a battle of the bands or something. I like. Ran up on stage or something, and I don't know, something stupid. I'm assuming that's where it came from that.
Wow. Well, maybe you, I don't know if you remember this, but a few years ago, McDonald's had a rebrand of the Hamburglar where they made him a sexy Hamburglar. Maybe you were the prototype for that.
Maybe.
Yeah, look it up. He's a real human man in the Hamburglar's outfit, and he had a glow up. Hot guy Hamburglar.
I hope this had something to do with Queer Eye.
What?
I want the Queer Eye guys to make over the cast of Ronald McDonald's Fun Buddies or whatever they're called.
Yeah, Fun Buddies. That's what they're called. The McDonaldland Fun Buddies.
It sounds vaguely wrong.
No, no.
That's just because I haven't said it.
Sounds like Donald Trump's friends or something.
Yeah, McDonald's fun buddies.
Okay.
So Greg and I used to play in a band called Umbrellica together. That's where these punk names came from.
Oh, I was wondering if we were going to get an explanation for that. Was it a punk band? I feel like I couldn't imagine Greg making aggressive music.
It was a punk band, yeah.
It was when airports got bored of having actual band practice, we'd switch instruments, which we did anyway, and we would play the instrument we were least likely to play in airports and then play punk music.
Well, Evan, you play every instrument. What did you wind up playing?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I think I watched.
Nick sang, and Nick was actually good.
Yeah, it was great. Nick and Katie did a lot of singing together. Yeah.
Nick had like a really good punk voice, if I remember correctly.
I wish we still had that Umbrellica CDR somewhere.
It's got to be somewhere.
Probably in Katie's car in the massive CD binder she has.
Why was it called Umbrellica?
I feel like it came from you, probably.
Me? It's got to be an inside joke.
Was it your love of Resident Evil and the company, the Umbrella Corporation, that oversaw all of those horrible zombie T-virus experiments?
That might have been it. Although then it couldn't have been from me, though, because I didn't play Resident Evil.
Same.
Okay, then was it from your much-beloved comic book series written by Gerard Way, singer of My Chemical Romance, The Umbrella Academy?
Never
recently
read
made
it.
Into a Netflix series? No. Was it because of a veiled reference to your favorite musical film, Singing in the Rain?
That might have been it.
Look, when we have Katie on, I'm sure she can answer all of these questions.
Katie will probably know. Okay. Or Peter.
Oh, we already had Peter on. It's too late.
Phone a friend.
Phone a friend.
We're not phoning friends.
Well, that's Nick. He'll probably be too busy eating soup.
Video chat a friend.
That's no.
Well, that way the viewers can see them as well.
Nope.
So I'm an outlier and I use an Android phone. And the only person I know that I can video chat with is Nick. So I could video chat with Nick right now.
Let's do it. I mean.
I'm editing this one.
Bonus stoner.
He's not going to pick up. He's probably playing fucking
Call of Duty.
No, the other one.
Duty of Call.
No. The one that just came out. Devil May Cry 2 or whatever.
Nope.
Misturbing with the Beatles.
What's the... what's...
Oh, you're talking about the Time Loop one. Death Loop.
Yep.
Nick.
Evan.
You're on the podcast right now. We got to know how did Umbrellica get its name?
Weed in Resident Evil.
Holy shit. I was right.
I don't know if Resident Evil was on everyone's minds, but Umbrella Corp, right?
Yeah, that's what I said.
That's the only thing I ever thought of the whole time.
Who named
it? Sticking with it.
Do you remember who
came up with it?
Yeah.
That was a hive mind thing. I don't know. That was a collection. I have fucking no idea. Kidding me? What was that? You're like 50 years ago?
Well, you were a great singer.
Thanks, man. I feel like I became a better person when I was singing for Umbrellica.
You really did nail it.
It did a lot for me. Who's the guest this week? Who are we talking with?
Greg Guillotine.
Oh, fuck yeah. That makes sense. I was like, why is this coming up?
One last question we had to phone a friend about earlier. What color was our van?
Your van? The Odyssey?
No. Remember the airport's
the
van?
The Odyssey. It was like a turquoise.
What? What the
fuck? No, the Vanagon, Nick.
It was hypercolor. Was it not turquoise?
It was either silver or gold.
Really? Oh, man. I'm not remembering this correctly at all. I don't think gold.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it could not have been gold.
We're going to see a picture. We're going to find a picture of it. It's going to be this like rich turquoise. And we're going to be
pictures.
Like,
what?
Oh, wow.
I would say Peter probably came up with Umbrellica.
He plays Resident Evil. I feel like it could be Resident Evil.
I play Resident Evil like in his presence. Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that was just like a weird freaking video game mishmash. Portmanteau. Whatever. That's all I got. I got no answers. Anything else I can answer incorrectly?
Favorite soup.
Just remember. My favorite soup?
Your favorite soup.
Man, we're gonna be here all night. That's fucked up. What soup pairing? Favorite soup pairing is tomato soup and grilled cheese. But soup on its own, oof. I mean, minestrone has been good to me throughout my life. A good minestrone. But then, like, you go and have a clam chowder like in New England. And I remember when we were on a quest to get New England clam chowder in Boston the first time we were in Boston.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was really good soup.
It's good soup.
Okay, this is too much soup talk.
All right.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have asked me that question. Okay, so I'll let you go.
All right, well, we'll see you on your episode in just a few weeks. Take care.
Yeah, if I could just plug my podcast, Soup Talks. It's every Thursday. And every week we deal with new ingredients. So, thanks for letting me get that out there. Yeah, have a good podcast. So I'll see you later.
Bye, Nick.
Bye, Nick.
Well, that was great. And only 3.5 minutes.
Oh, wait. Why did you ask him his punk name?
His was Nikki Detox.
Yeah, that's Nikki Detox. Katie was Katie Clementine, and Peter was...
Peter Hosen?
Peter Puke or something like that.
Fuck.
Something like that.
Putrid. All
right. I do like Peter Hosen.
Well, that was a great band.
I feel like those songs were actually kind of good for the fact that we like wrote them in a second each.
And like pretty much recorded them.
We just played them and those were the recordings.
I feel like Umbrellica definitely came partially from Metallica though.
Maybe it's a combination of those.
The world may never know. But I'm going to go on Facebook and I'm going to find a picture of that van. So you guys talk without me for a minute.
One of these days, I'm going to put Evan's phone in a safe before we record. So we've covered a lot of different types of music that you made. What got you into music in the first place? Were you always a folkman?
No, I used to like punk music when I was younger. Loud music.
What were some examples? What were your big ones?
Depends on what time period we're talking. Like I started being into nu metal. You know, Korn.
No wonder you and Evan got along so well.
Korn, Limp Bizkit, all those.
Well, what switched it for you? What made you become a folkman? Who are your influences?
I mean, guess like hearing stuff like Elliott Smith and like Pinback, stuff like that. That was just kind of like it was quieter and prettier, but it still had like the same intensity.
Yeah, it can edge
as,
you.
As like louder music. So I liked that. Like, I didn't know that you could do that.
It is a cool element to that, which is otherwise a kind of somber, quiet music. Like, mm-hmm. You can give a little bit of bite to it. I feel like there's a Harry Nilsson influence in a lot of what you do as well. But you're looking at me blankly, so maybe that's not the case.
I do know it and like it, but I haven't, internalized it.
He loves to put the lime in the coconut. That's a Harry Nilsson.
That's one of his songs. That's like one of those things that I've heard and liked, but I've never listened to a record. But I got into '60s pop and stuff after that, and I feel like that was big in terms of the way I write melodies and bass lines and stuff like that. I just want stuff to feel nice, you know.
Yeah, I think we're all chasing that.
I think you accomplished that on anything I've ever heard you make.
Well, thanks.
You make every part sound nice and every part sound
beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
Cohesive.
Well, yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it. It all has purpose. You're not just flailing notes to flail notes.
Yeah, it's all intentional.
Yeah.
Tried to be.
You don't put your drum solos out there or your guitar solos.
One day I'll just have a song that's all of them.
Super Shredder.
Yeah. All at once, just 30 seconds of every ripping solo that I ever wanted to put in anything.
Sounds like you're making a Dream Theater album.
it'll be all of my Beatles masturbating together for 30 seconds.
Well, Greg, you recorded a solo on this week's song.
When was the last time you guys did a vocal solo?
Never.
Great question.
Can you do a vocal solo?
I don't think Evan or I really have the dexterity for that, but Greg, you could do an actual a cappella solo vocal performance, and I feel like that would sell really well.
I don't know if I could do a vocal. The only thing that one Pink Floyd song where it's just somebody doing a vocal solo the whole
time. The Great
Gig
in the Sky?
Oh, yeah, dude. Right.
That's the only thing I could think of for vocal solo.
Yeah, that is ripping.
I don't think I could
do that.
I
wonder who her name was to do that. That vocal part. Evan, you're on your phone. Look her up.
I'm busy. I just found a picture of Greg in the studio when we were 18.
Okay.
Does it have the van in it?
Nope. I couldn't find the van, but I found us performing a show in Richmond, which I know there are more pictures of that on the internet somewhere.
There's one that has the van. You know what? I think the van was I think it was a silvery blue.
No, I think it was...
Got me thinking that think it was kind of bluish.
No, pretty sure it was gold.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you're drunk.
Got him.
As the one who hasn't drank any fucking coffee liqueur tonight, No, I don't know. I wish I knew where the fucking... Ugh. There's all these pictures of, like, you know, Kyle Applegate throwing up on the porch of that Richmond house. Like, where... I know there's a picture of the van in that.
There is.
Who took those?
I have no idea.
Katie?
Probably. Peter?
There definitely is a picture of the van somewhere in there.
And I'm going to say that it was, like, a silvery blue, bluish silver, like a smoky gunmetal bluish.
Oh, got a couple of unreliable narrators here.
We're terrible.
Well, the good news is her name was Claire Torrey, or is Claire Torrey. She's still alive.
Who?
The woman who wrote and performed the backing vocals for The Great Gig in the Sky, or the foreground vocals, the vocal solo.
Her name is Katie Delmonico. You can call her and find out the answer to the question right now.
About the van?
That's the van thing.
The van thing has, like, kept coming back.
During this episode that we're recording right now.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, you're correct.
What do you think our band name is? Demon of the Riffs? The Airports Band Camp?
That was the name of the album.
Fuck it. I give up. I quit. I don't care. It's gold. Put it on record.
No, the viewer has to know. The listener.
I'm busy right now doing a podcast. I can't possibly spend all my time looking this up.
Oh my God. He admit it. Anyway, back to Greg.
So what do you think?
About the van color?
In general. Well, speaking of going to Richmond, remember that tour? The first tour we ever did, Greg?
Mm-hmm.
In that gold...
In that bluish, silvery...
I mean, we already talked about how we had to sit on the engine and all crammed in it, but that tour, that was the first time we met Alex and Justin down in Richmond playing the Dollhouse.
Oh, yeah, Richmond Buds, yeah.
It was the first time really going on tour. We toured with Algernon, which was cool.
Yeah.
I think they played like two shows. Yeah. Played with Monument in fucking Richmond. I don't know. It was my first time in Richmond. I love Richmond.
Richmond was great. We got Mad Dog 2020 at the Kroger.
Mm-hmm. Everyone threw up all over the front porch. Oh,
that's where everyone learned about Mad Dog.
Kyle threw up all over the front porch, specifically.
Well, flash forward a few years to when the Dangerous Ponies were on tour. Our first time in New Orleans. We stopped at a gas station to get po' boys, and Evan, in one of the standing refrigerators, was excitedly exclaimed that he had found Mad Dog. Is it Mad Dog 2020? Is that full name?
Mm-hmm. You know it.
And he pulled out this, like, nuclear orange colored bottle.
It was Blue Bling, baby.
Blue Bling? There's multiple
Or Bling
ones
Blue?
In there.
That was the name, remember?
Was it? I thought it was just like blue raspberry.
Regardless of the specific color, because obviously you guys have great color recall.
says the man who is colorblind.
Yeah, you know, it's also fair. Evan, like, pounded that whole thing in the parking lot, and I think you wound up throwing up not just the Mad Dog, but also the shrimp po' boy that you had eaten in the gas station.
That was
before.
A really good po' boy.
Yeah, I'm sure it was better the first time on the way in.
Yeah, definitely. I also have a photo album of that time. So I'm going to go find it.
No, just put the photo away.
But it's such a good...
You can get those in Philly now, you know, Mad Dogs.
Really? They sell them in Philly? I remember we used to have to drive over the bridge in the gold Airports van. We did. I remember Katie and Amanda, me and you, like Ben Weinshank, all of us, all the buds, we'd pile into the Airports van, drive into Camden, get some Mad Dogs, come back.
Wait, was Mad Dog not, like, it wasn't legal to distribute it in Philadelphia?
They didn't have it.
It was in Morton, Delco.
Yeah, right outside. You probably could have found it somewhere in the city.
But it wasn't like, I mean, I'm sure you could, but it wasn't something that they had at like every...
You could get like Boone Farm in the city.
Yeah, Boone Farm, which wasn't as good.
Why the love for Mad Dog? You'd make a pilgrimage for it. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good reason.
It was, if you drank one, like you were pretty drunk.
It's like the Buckfast of America.
Yes.
I think it was like 20% or something.
Yeah, it was like, it was more than twice as strong as like a Boone's Farm or something like that.
And they would come in little flasks and then it was a great, terrible time.
It's really sugary, like you'd have a really bad hangover.
The worst.
The next day. If you chugged the whole thing, like you were probably going to puke.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But they also cost like $2 for this like big
nuts.
Like, yeah, for this like big ass bottle that like you drank the whole thing like you were gonna be fucked.
Man, yeah, it was not a small flask.
You know, as a person who loves value, I get it now.
It was a value, yeah. Well,
that's the thing. We were children. It was $2.
It was in like neon colors.
Yeah, and like
it had the same flavors as like candy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like kiwi, strawberry. Like the banana one was red for some reason. It was like banana red.
Oh, there are red red varieties of banana.
I've never seen it.
They're not Cavendish. It's not a Cavendish banana, but it's another subspecies.
The picture of the bananas on the label
were
yellow.
Okay.
But it was like, you know, like neon red.
That's a different
story. Yeah.
I'm out here trying to defend Mad Dog, and they're just fucking it up.
No, they didn't have some, like, exotic bananas.
It was a great time, honestly. I loved Mad Dog at that time. And I think I probably stopped loving Mad Dog after I vomited all over that parking lot.
We could get it again. We should have gotten them for this.
I mean, I'm going to see you in a couple days. We'll just get some for recording session.
We'll make a pact right now. Next time we have you on, Greg, we will all drink Mad Dogs together. Right.
They have them at the Wine and Spirits on Oregon.
Well, let's pick some up before we record drums to your new album on Monday. And
do we drink it before we
record? Oh, we drink it while you record, so you get better as you play.
Not sure if that's how that'll work out.
Greg, we lived together in a house that was fucking haunted.
Oh, yeah.
Totally fucking haunted.
Oh, yeah. Evan told me that you had a ghost story years ago, but I haven't heard the full details of it. You care to share it with us?
That was where I used to get sleep paralysis. That was like the only spot where I would get it like all the time.
Yeah, you would get it in the room that I moved into that you moved out of when I moved into the house because you would get sleep paralysis.
Yeah. And there was always this like presence at the door and I would get thrown around the room by my feet. Like spun around. Yeah, it was really weird.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I didn't tell you about that part.
No, what? Were you actually, or did it just feel like it? Like what?
I mean, it felt like it. I don't think if you were like watching, probably wouldn't have been happening.
Oh, this is during the bouts of sleep paralysis. Yeah. So you'd feel it?
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy. And they were all like the footsteps we always heard and all the lights being
on
switched.
What Evan told me was that you had an experience while you were in the shower.
No, that was Andy.
Oh, it was Andy.
He had the experience at the microwave.
Yeah, the microwave is weird. Every time I turned around, it would turn off. And then when I, like, went to go fuck with it, it would turn back on. Like, every time, like, I put something in there, and every time I would look away, it would stop. And every time I would, like, look back at it, it would turn back on and finish cooking the food.
Well, we had a conversation about this while Ruben from Soul Glow was doing his episode with us, but if you think about it, most ghosts, just the way, you know, nature of people dying throughout history, are from an earlier time period before all these technological marvels, so it's pretty fair to think that, like, this 1500s, you know, colonist or what have you was probably just, like, fascinated with the glowing box that you put your burrito into or your Hot Pocket or what have you.
Maybe.
And so they're just seeing what happened when they flicked that bad boy off and on.
I mean, that house, first off, the kitchen was fucking like a puke green.
Yeah. The vibes were just all off.
It was like, so weird.
You puke walked green, in.
Like Slimer? Of course there's going to be ghosts. That's, you, well, that's their buddy.
That's where we recorded, what's that band called?
Robes?
Yeah. That house.
You recorded in that house?
We recorded guitar overdubs there.
You were probably
the
gone.
First project that Evan and I worked on together was a band called Robes. That's where we got matched up and at Drexel in our production class.
Yeah, we did a lot there. I mean, because what's his face? Eric was always traveling.
Yeah.
Eric was like always going to Japan and you were like Kyle lived in New Brunswick. You were always going to New Jersey, I feel like.
Yeah, the vibes in that house were just very strange.
Too weird.
They're like the first time you walked in, you were like, or anybody who ever came over was always like very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. I didn't notice it at all.
You didn't notice it?
No. I'm not a believer though. So
you're not a medium.
I'm not a medium. I'm small.
And remember, the kitchen was in a separate. You had to like essentially walk into like the. How do I explain this?
The kitchen was split into like two.
Two
like
rooms.
The stove was in another room.
But that room was like the room that led to the outside and had no heat and shit in it.
Yeah. Well, it had a stove. You don't need it.
I mean, when it was the middle of the winter, it was the temperature. It was outside. So when you wanted to go cook your eggs in the morning, it was like 15 degrees.
Really fucking cold.
Sounds like it was good training for Big Mama's warehouse.
It was fully. But that house was insane. The basement door had like scratches all over it from whatever animals lived there in the past, probably because ghosts were trying to eat it or some shit.
There was that mound in the basement.
Yeah, there was like a dirt mound in the basement.
I remember it being concrete, but like something was under the concrete to the point where it was like cracked. Like there was a mound, but they just poured concrete over it.
Do you think it was a buried body?
I have no idea.
Based on how fucking haunted that house was, absolutely.
Well, what was the full story with Andy in the shower?
He felt something touch him.
Yeah, he felt like a cold. He was taking a hot shower. He felt a cold handprint on his back.
I thought it was on his balls, to be honest.
Oh.
Wow. First time using the eucalyptus, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was just the Doc Ronners. Hit his butthole and he freaked him out, yeah.
That would be so funny if that was like... Andy mistook, maybe that put this idea in our heads. And I mean, I fully fucking believe there was ghosts. People have stayed over that house too and been like, yo, I had sleep paralysis. This shit was crazy.
Did other people say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that house is fucked up.
That house was crazy.
Who else had sleep paralysis in that house?
Do you remember my friend Jen, who played in Inspector Hector? She had like, maybe not sleep paralysis, but like an experience.
You remember what it was?
I don't exactly remember what it was, but I remember waking up in the morning and her being like, yo, your house is fucking haunted. And me going, totally.
Is this the same friend who told you that when she was a kid, she had a ghost experience? You told me some story like that about one of your friends who saw a ghost when they were a kid.
No, Anna saw a ghost sitting on her dresser brushing her hair.
Oh, is that what it was?
That was Anna's ghost story.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
What? She's just brushing her hair.
Seeing a child ghost is definitely horrifying as a child. It was a child.
That ghost wasn't spooking anybody. It was just, you know, taking care of its mane.
The fact that it's just doing something so nonchalant is like the scariest part.
I think it would be way scarier if it was like leaping out of a drawer or like you open your closet and it's hanging itself.
That would be perfect, honestly, because then at least it's doing something scary. Like when it's doing something just so mundane, then you're just like, what are you going to do next? Like, obviously this is...
Maybe I'll brush my teeth.
It's unnerving.
I'm just doing my morning routine.
But why?
What if I trim my nails? I'm going to ghost prom.
You know what's insane is I only lived in that house for 3 months.
Whoa, dude, that's nuts.
How long did you live in that house for?
I don't remember.
I have like such vivid memories of living in that house.
Yeah, I had a really bad time there. I think I lived there for a whole year. Or like almost a year. It wasn't great.
And then what? We move into the Hot Pocket after that? We've lived together a bunch of times.
Yeah, that house was great though.
The Hot Pocket? The one you guys absolutely destroyed on Haverford Avenue?
Yeah, that could be said for a number of houses that we've lived in.
That house is haunted by filth after you guys were done with it.
Yeah, that's fine. That's better than ghosts though.
Oh,
That kitchen was just... flies at the end. Like that window and windowsill was just covered in fly corpses.
It's so fucked up. Have a picture of that too.
Of the flies?
We lost our 50s WFL kit to the basement of that house.
Yeah, drum kit. Yeah, because the number of things rotted, right? There was like a skateboard that rotted in half.
It rotted, the drum kit?
Yeah, just like, well, you know, we never really jammed in that basement, right? Like it was too gross.
I think so, yeah.
I think that was like the one house I've ever lived in that I never jammed in. And like a bunch of musicians lived there.
Yeah.
I remember you had an especially good Thanksgiving one year.
With the, what happened? Oh, where it got broken into.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was the only one there.
That oh, yeah. Cool. Tell us the details of that story.
I woke up to the cops in my room with their guns drawn. That was cool. And I guess two guys had climbed over the back fence and kicked in the back door because they figured everybody would be gone for Thanksgiving because we were like white kids in our early 20s. And mostly everyone was gone. I wasn't. And luckily there was an apartment building like right there. And this guy had noticed them at 7 a.m. climbing over the fence and kicking in the back door. So he called the cops and they showed up. And that's how I woke up. But those guys, I guess, had just like walked. They were like right in the neighborhood, I guess, because those guys broke into our back door, walked out to like open the front door to then unload everything that they wanted into their van, and they got arrested.
So nothing got stolen?
Nothing got stolen. And then their conversion van was parked out in front of our house for months.
I had no idea.
Oh, their getaway vehicle.
Yeah. It just stayed parked in front of our house.
Wow. Did you extend your gratitude to that neighbor? Did you ever get to meet him?
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, yeah, thank you.
Our phone a friend has come back, a former roommate of that house and Umbrellica member, Putrid Peter.
That's the answer?
Yep, that's Pete's name. Going back to that, anyway.
Ask him about the van.
He color. Says Putrid Peter or Peter Putrid.
Van color.
Okay.
That's a text from Peter that Evan just got.
But I will say it was definitely horrifying to wake up to cops.
Yeah, I can't even imagine what that was like.
I literally like shot up the wall with my hands up.
What did they think? What did they say to you?
I don't remember, but like I thought that I was getting arrested.
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, if you wake up with a gun in your face, There's a bunch of cops
and
there.
And they were like, oh, no. Like, is there anyone in here? I was like, I don't think so. Like, I'm literally asleep. Like, I was just like in boxers with no shirt on, with my hands up in my bed.
Yeah, that could have ended poorly. Cops don't have a great history of not shooting sleeping people.
No, they don't. I was supposed to go press charges, I think, and I never did. I don't know what happened with all that.
What a crazy time.
As long as they weren't in my house, I'm chill with that.
And then I'm sure, 2 months later, we threw a giant party with a literal pile of ketamine on somebody's laptop.
Just like a high-res GIF?
No, like I walked into the house and there was a literal mound of ketamine.
Yeah, I walked in there with you while they were having that party, and everybody was just sitting in different chairs in different spots across the house, just staring at walls. It's like, yo, sick party, dudes.
It was fucking insane, dude.
I don't remember that one.
Peter says the van was tan.
Yeah, that sounds tan. Right. I think that's right. It's
closer to gold.
Ask him if it was like a silver with a hint of blue, though.
You know, tan.
See if that jogs any memories. I mean, well, I will say, literally, the only thing that has come of this is everybody has said a different color.
Nick said turquoise.
Which is definitely the most wildly wrong color.
Oh, you mean the man who is excited to give you a list of his favorite soups would say the wrong color of the van?
What's your favorite soup to pull over on the highway and eat?
Peter said, I'd say gold is closest. Gold is an alternate to tan. I'm going to say you and Nick have one side. Me and Pete have one side. We got to
I'm not on the turquoise side.
No. Well, Nick is no. Nick inspired your blue.
We have to get Katie in on it.
It was her van. We're the idiots who couldn't pay the money for it. $800? Jesus fucking Christ.
Just stealing a deal.
I don't remember ever putting any money towards it, to be honest.
Yeah, that's why we don't own it anymore.
Or ever.
Yeah, I guess. Katie had it for like a couple weeks.
Well, we did the one tour with it.
Yeah, you guys also did a tour that I couldn't be on because I think I was on a pony store.
Did we?
Francis filled in on guitar. Francis Beaver.
I don't remember that one.
It's towards the end of the band when we were doing like the airport sucker punch stuff. It was the Hot Pocket time period. Wacky time.
That was right after the haunted house, right?
Yeah. And then I moved out of the Hot Pocket into Sprinkle Kingdom, which is where I graduated college.
That was a good house, too.
That was a great house. Legendary punk house.
And then after that, we lived together in this house.
No, you didn't live here when I lived here. I lived in your room.
Second floor?
Your room.
My room. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't live here while I lived here.
I didn't live here when Evan lived here either. That used to be Evan's room.
Well, who lived in that room?
When I moved in, you were moving out for some reason.
I moved out. Katie and I were supposed to move to Vermont.
Yeah.
Then we broke up, and then I stayed at the warehouse for like 2 months and then moved in here when Ian moved out. And then we did live together.
Oh, yeah. You're right. But at first, it was just me.
This is riveting podcasting. We're doing it.
This is like this every is conversation Greg and I ever have. Is like, I'm like, we did this. And Greg's like, no. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. And then Greg's like, we did this. And I'm like, no.
So, Greg, you were recently concussed at work.
Yeah.
Any correlation between these two things?
Maybe. No, I've always had a kind of a bad memory. Not a great long-term memory. But yeah, that does sound right now.
Well, maybe we'll live in Alaska together too at some point.
Maybe.
See, that's the next logical step.
Well, Greg recently just got married. Congratulations, Greg.
Congratulations. Thank you.
Shout out Veronica.
Hello, Veronica.
Greg's wife. She's great. We talked about her earlier.
Singer and songwriter of Snow Whore.
Mm-hmm. How's married life?
It's nice. It's kind of the same.
Sick.
Well, that's the best case scenario, right? Where you already feel like you're married anyway, so it's just like the natural next step to the way you exist together.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Did you guys go on a honeymoon?
We did, yeah.
Where'd you go?
Went to North Carolina. Jefferson, wow. North Carolina.
Jefferson?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Mountains.
What'd you do? Some camping, some hiking, sledding?
We just rented like a cabin, chilled.
Just the two of you in a cabin?
Mm-hmm.
Spooky.
It was like, it wasn't a, like a cab. It was like a cushy cabin, you know, like it had a TV and a kitchen.
Oh yeah. You're,
it was like a house. It was like a log cabin house.
I want to call it a glabin.
It was, yeah. It was a glabin.
I'm okay with that. Evan's looking to me for approval. Yes, I'm good. I'm good with that.
Cool. I wasn't sure you got it.
a glamour cabin. It's yeah, like glamour. Glamping. I get it.
Cool.
I'm not the one who doesn't get stuff out of the two of us, Evan.
It was what are you trying to say?
I'm saying you don't get stuff.
Did you get that joke? I made a joke.
Which, what if that was a joke?
I'm not going to explain it. It's too dumb.
Okay.
Our car died on the way back in Virginia.
What'd you do?
That was fun. Well, luckily, I had called my insurance company like not that long before and was like, how much extra is it to add roadside assistance to this? And they were like literally $3 per month. I was like, let me add that. So I just called them, got towed, got stuck in Virginia for a night. And our friend Mike came and picked us up the next day.
Reliable Mike.
Yeah. So yeah, that sucked.
But the honeymoon otherwise is great.
The honeymoon was nice. But like kind of, it was nice kind of that something bad happened on the last day because then it didn't suck to come back. It was like, oh, I'm glad to be back and not dealing with that anymore.
Oh, so yeah, you're playing it perfectly there.
Yeah. But also, like, that was the most money I had ever put into something, and it just, like, exploded before my eyes.
The car or the honeymoon?
The car.
Do you ever say, my wife like Borat?
My wife? Like that?
That's no. Pretty good. That's more emoting than I would have expected from you, so.
That was the first time.
Well, hopefully there's many more.
Do you ever say that?
No, I don't have a wife.
You say, my wife like Borat, though.
I say, please take my wife.
That's not Borat.
That is actually Borat.
No.
You just
says,
said
please take my
like
wife.
You, though.
No, that's an old vaudevillian joke from like, I can't remember the guy, the performer's name, but he was like a violin player comedian. Mm. And he would do a lot of like extended delayed punchlines like that. And he would fill the space in between with violin playing.
Sounds like unbelievable comedy.
Yeah. I mean, vaudeville comedy still holds up aside from all the racism and all the other horrible shit.
That sounds like bad.
That stuff's bad. But like the Marx Brothers stuff is like still top notch.
Mm. Old Groucho.
Old Groucho. Old Zeppo. Old Harpo.
Harpo.
Did you say that in a Philly accent?
Harpo.
Yeah. Old Groucho. Old Harpo. Old Zeppo.
Hoagie.
Old Hogo. Yeah. My favorite fucking Marx Brother dude. He's fucking Hogo, dude.
Hoagie Marx.
Well.
Anyway, my nonsense aside, Greg, where can people go if they want to have more Greg Mendez?
Probably you know. The B-ball court. Right, Chris?
No. Give us plugs of your music and social media.
You know, Spotify, Bandcamp, Instagram.
What are your handles on those platforms? Don't just tell people about multi-billion dollar corporations they're already
so
aware
there's
of.
This thing called Twitter.
I guarantee you, if you search Umbrellica, you won't find it.
It's Greg Mendez with X's on either side. X Greg Mendez, X on the socials.
All of them.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I'm
Bandcamp as well?
I think it is.
Yeah. Bandcamp is just Greg Mendez, I think.
Cool.
I don't know the. Is there a handle on that?
Yeah, it's yourname.bandcamp.com.
Oh, that's just Greg Mendez.
Yeah. Okay.
And then. I really only use the Twitter and the Instagram sporadically. I'll use it a bunch for like a week and then won't use it for a month.
Well, you're working on a new record.
Yeah.
Excited for that.
I'm excited for that.
I've heard some tunes that are very good.
And your last release was also Cherry Hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where can people find that? Just on the Bandcamp, on the release?
Yeah. All streaming. All the things. Who released it? Devilltown Tapes?
Yeah, and Forged Artifacts.
Released by Devilltown Tapes.
Devilltown Tapes and Forged Artifacts. Great. Labels. So there's a second pressing of tapes out now.
Nice.
Already.
Well, be sure to order that online, folks.
It's a good record. Listen to it if you haven't heard Cherry Hell. Wait, how'd you get that name?
Driving through Cherry Hill.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's right there. It's right there.
Also, the aforementioned Kyle Applegate does the art for it, right?
Yeah, good artist.
Great artist, great video game maker, great.
Been doing the art since the airport.
Classic. Chris St. Paul.
You've been listening to the Super Week Super Weekly Supercast. Thank you for being here, Greg.
Bye, Greg.
We love you, bud.
Bye, Greg.
Say a singular at least.
Hit a singular.
Just one.
Just say ball. Just say it. Say ball.
Lucille. Balls.
Yeah! Who's a good boy?
She's my favorite actress, Lucille Balls.